is an encouragement to you, and hope it upbuilds your faith, and I hope it teaches us all how to serve God better. And hope that the information tonight, if you don't already know it, I hope that it increases your faith, and that if it's something you do know, I hope it strengthens you to make sure that your faith is strong. As you can see from the title, I took it from Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. This is a verse that we should all know, and that the title is, "You Must Believe That He Is." Let's actually take a look at that verse, if you want to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11 to see what it has to say. The verse says, "And without faith it is impossible to be well-pleasing unto him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that seek after him." I think that's a very well-known verse, and I think it's a very interesting and very good verse. And that it tells us that there's two things that a person must have in coming to God. And I think that word is very important, that it says must. You know, I could tell somebody, you must have gasoline to make this car work. You must have gasoline to make this car go. And they could say, oh, well, you know what? I don't need gasoline in my car. I'm going to try it anyway. And that car is not going to make it too far. As the verse says, these are things that you must have. And the first thing is, you must believe that he is. You must have a belief that God is, that he exists. The second thing says, believe that he is a rewarder of them that seek after him. And that we need to believe that God is, and that we need to believe that he is someone that we can count on, that keeps his promises, that he's going to answer our prayers. And as it says, he's going to reward those that seek after him. That we believe that he has the power, he has the ability to do that. In the beginning of the chapter, it actually gives this definition of faith. And it says in verse 1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And so, in looking at the verse, it says that faith, then, it's not based upon our sight, not that we can see, but upon our confident understanding that something exists beyond what our eyes can perceive. And that's where we get our faith from, that we don't need the visual evidence to believe it, that we can believe based on who it is that's speaking, and that the words truly are enough. And if our desire is to be well-pleasing to God, that's what we need to have, is faith. And according to God, we must have faith if we want to be pleasing to him. And in fact, the verse will go so far as to say it is impossible otherwise to be pleasing to God. And in verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 11, it says, "For by it the elders obtained a good report." That throughout chapter 11, it talks about these men of faith, that what they believed in God and what their faith did for them, what they did because of their faith, because of their belief in God. And that God gave them a good report, that we can read about what these men did, and we can read that they pleased God. In verse 5, it says, "By faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was attested as having pleased God." That for 300 years Enoch served God. He walked with God. And that's something that we want to have. Now, in thinking about this, how is faith created, and how do we get to the point where we're going to believe God? And taking from a verse we all know, Romans chapter 10, 17, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We begin by first hearing or reading about who God is in his word. You know, we need to study, or we have someone teach us to begin to have a basis of faith. And really, it's true of other things in the world as well. that we hear about something, it's not anything strange at the Bible, this concept of hearing, then you hear something and then you have an opportunity to believe it. We could hear about something that we've never seen before, and then we have a chance to decide whether we're going to believe it or not. And as I said, you can hear something. You haven't first seen it. You're given a choice. You can either believe it or not. And for an example of that, I don't know if anyone has ever heard of the atmospheric, it's an electrical disturbance, it's called ball lightning. And it's real interesting. I heard about it years ago, and for a while, the people that actually saw it were telling other people, and at first, everybody thought it was just some kind of hoax, because it acts very differently from regular lightning. It actually stays around a lot longer, and it does some strange things, but they really have never been able to capture it or really test it, because there's a way that it happens. It's so random. It was hard for them even just to get a couple pictures of it. But if someone told you about it and you'd never heard, you have the opportunity to whether you're going to accept what people say or not. So belief begins with words. And this is true also when we see the example of Pharaoh. When Moses and Aaron told Pharaoh what the Lord had to say, and Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." You know, even Pharaoh, he had to hear first that there was a God and that he spoke. And he had given a chance to believe who God was, to believe who God is. And Pharaoh recognized also that he needed to believe in God to obey his voice. And that's true for us as well. And we know that Moses didn't believe God. And Hebrews 11:27 says about Moses, "By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." But the king's wrath was certainly real, and it was there, and so was the treasures. He had he could have the pleasure stay in the king's Pharaoh's house, but he believed God and his words. You know, and you wonder, well, where did he get his faith from? You know, his parents taught him. And that should be a good lesson for us as parents, that we also need to teach our kids so that they can have the faith that they need to have later in their life. Another thing that happens when we look at believing on something, we ask the question, is it worth believing? You know, we're going to assess, you know, is this really worth believing in? You know, how's it going to affect me? You know, what's the importance of it? I use the example, it's heard it said before, you know, do you believe in $1 million? You know, you've never seen it before. You know, and some people say, oh yeah, I believe in $1 million. That's something I could use. When you consider what the Bible has to offer, the Bible claims the answer to who God is, what the meaning of life is, how we were created, and what will happen to us when we die. And it was attested to men by men who saw these things given to us in written words. In John 21, this is at the very end of John's Gospel, he said in verse 24, "This is the disciple who is bearing witness to these things and who has written these things, and we know that his testimony is true. But there are also many other things which Jesus did were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written." So I have a couple verses here for us to consider. Let's have the simple question, you know, do you believe it? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So we learn immediately, God, who is he? He's the creator. He created all things. And he read in the verses, when he created those things, he saw that they were good. So immediately, in just those few things, we can immediately learn some things about God. In Genesis 2:7, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." And right there we learn that man was created from dust of the ground, and that God brought him to life. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And we immediately learn our purpose. God put us here so we may choose to believe him, that we may follow his commandments, we trust him, and we do everything he has to say. For we know there's going to be a consequence in the end for us. There's going to be judgment. In Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. That we all know for certain that people die. And God gives us this also, that appointment, as sure as that appointment is, the appointment for judgment is also sure. We need to be prepared for that. Mark 16:16, that we give quite often at the end of our sermons, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And all these verses present information that's so simple and easy to believe, and answers all these really big important questions without resorting to a lot of scientific tests. You know, doesn't have us to have to gain all this tons of worldly knowledge. We don't have to learn great things or go through some experienced mind-altering drugs or situation. The Bible says, you know, do you believe it? And unfortunately, because of the simplicity, some people see that and say, that can't be right. And the Bible calls us to act upon our faith. When we believe God, if we want to prove that we really believe that it's true, that we say that we do, that we have confidence and trust in God, then we're going to obey him. In the example of Noah in Hebrews 11 and chapter 7, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. In Psalms 2:12, if you read that at the end of that verse, it says, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. You know, even though that Noah had never seen anything like the occurrence that God was telling him about, a flood or rain, much less that, he still believed God and acted accordingly. Genesis 6, begin in verse 13. We're going to take a look at those verses. Let's begin at verse 13. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood, make rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you are to make it: the length of the ark, 300 cubits, its breadth 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. Make a roof for the ark, and finish it to a cubit above, and set the door of the ark in its side. Make it with lower second and third decks. For behold, I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh in, which is the breath of life from under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall come into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Of the birds according to their kinds, and of the animals according to their kinds, of every creeping thing of the ground according to its kind, two of every sort shall come into you to keep them alive. Also, take with you every sort of food that is eaten and stored up, and it shall serve as food for you and for them. In verse 22, Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him. I think that's very interesting how specific instructions God gives him and all the things that God tells him. And in verse 22, we have Noah did this. All that God commanded him, he did. And if you go to chapter 7, it says, then the Lord said to Noah, go into the ark. And so, we're not given the record of all the time that Noah spent gathering the wood and building the ark. And he had all that time to test his faith. And as we know, Noah's faith was shown to be sure, that he believed God. As I said, you know, he did all that was commanded him, regardless of how long it took to build the ark, gather his food, and he preached the message to others. 2 Peter 2:5, it says, God, and that he spared not the ancient world, but preserved Noah with seven others. And Noah, he was a preacher of righteousness when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly. It said, Noah, he was a preacher of righteousness. That he believed and did what God asked him to, following the pattern. And he didn't try and reason out of things, you know, this couldn't be the way that God had said. This couldn't be what had happened. And Abraham, he believed. Romans 4:3 says, For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. In Hebrews 11 and verse 8, By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. And when he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now Abraham, he didn't know where he was going, or exactly when he would get there. But he believed God. And that he wasn't motivated by an idea of greed that he was going to get something, but he believed what God told him. It was based upon who God is. So in considering the faith that these men had and the faith that we need to have, that's my question. Where is our faith today? You know, do we have confidence and trust in God when we read his word and what it says? And do we act upon that belief that it's got to go the way that God says and not our way? You know, do we obey without complaint? 1 Peter 4:18 says, And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? That the passage indicates that there's some difficulty in even the righteous being saved. You know, where are the ungodly and sinner? And truly they have no chance. So then, in having our faith strengthened and keeping it is very important. We need to seek God. And we'll look back at that passage I read earlier from the title. I think it's very interesting that it uses the word, He that cometh to God. So then there's that action word, we're going to come to God. And he's rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And that there's some action involved, that we're not just going to fall into heaven. And even in the verse about the straight and narrow gate, Matthew 7, and verse 14, it says, Few there be that find it. And I'd never noticed that word before. And just one day reading that verse, that particular verse, it stuck out to me. Because in verse 17, about the wide and easy way that leads to destruction, there's few that enter by it. There's just people going in there. But the straight and narrow gate, the way is hard, there's few who find it. So we need to make sure that we're seeking God, that there's work to be done in studying. We need to know what God's will is. We need to know how to please Him. And as 2 Timothy 2:15, which we know, says, Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so hopefully we would have the kind of faith that we need to please God. That if we don't, we'll be lost. If you're here this evening and you have not named the name of Christ, I don't see that we have anybody. But in looking at Acts 22 and verse 16, if we're talking to anybody that hasn't named the name of God, we can recall this event where Paul, he's recalling his own conversion, and he's seeing that the time is very important because we don't know what will happen to us when. And when Jesus will come back, we don't know when our last hours will be. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on his name. So if you're here this evening, you have any need of the congregation, if your faith hasn't been what it should be, and you need the prayers or study or any help from the congregation here, we ask that you come as we stand and sing the chosen song.